Welcome back, Ray Donovan fans. Tonight we're covering Season 5, Episode 5, Shabos Goy. Keep it locked, AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuning in to the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, the song is so good.
Chilling.
Yeah. I Shazammed it as soon as we heard it.
Oh, yeah. It came in just at the right time, you know what I mean? Welcome back, Ray Donovan fans. Thanks so much for sticking with us. I know we were on a little bit of hiatus last week, but we're back. I'm your host, Olivia Gabbery. You can hit me up at @real_o_g.
It's so good to be back. My name is Louisa Sharamatian, and you can find me on Instagram @nobodyreadsanymore and on Twitter @nobodyreads.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us. My name is Elizabeth Alfano, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter @dinnerpartychgo and at my website, thedinnerparty.tv.
Hey, everyone. I'm Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram @RachGoodman or on Facebook @RachelAnnGoodman.
You guys, I feel like okay. We have so much to duke it out about.
Oh my gosh.
Before the camera started rolling, we were arguing about what actually happened, because I feel like there, you know, first of all, I'll say it again. There are so many storylines, I can hardly keep them straight. Mm-hmm. But not only are there so many storylines, but they're very in depth, mm-hmm. and it's hard to keep track of what actually is going on. So we're trying to duke it out about that right now.
Yeah, so I'll say, if you guys know, be sure to hit us up on chat, because there's so many things that are going on. And what I'm finding difficult is the editing. I just want the stories to progress at some point, and I'm not getting enough of anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm just getting like snippet, 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 well, and it's not enough.
Even like, and I don't want to start jumping into it, but even like before this, when we were all talking about the pills, mm-hmm. and how they just showed them real fast.
Yes. Right.
Okay, like at least give us something more than that.
Yeah. Which we think maybe that, okay, Abby might have committed suicide. You know, when Bridget leaves the door and sits in the hallway and starts to cry, we still don't know what was going on inside that room, right?
Okay, so I have a different take, just to tell you, like, how convoluted it's all getting. At this point, and we are totally jumping in here, people, so sorry. I'm sure Olivia will take us back to the normal stream. But at this point, Ray's taken, like, 5 or 6 Zolofts. Mm-hmm. So he's not really coherent
not
himself.
Like, you don't and do that. It's not vitamin C.
He was like, okay, hang on.
And so he's just gotten off the phone with Bridget about him potentially murdering Smitty.
So mean too.
And so I don't know, when we see the injection, in my mind I'm thinking, is he having flashbacks of going into the hospital room, mm-hmm. and poisoning Smitty? Or is he having flashbacks
of Abby?
Because I thought it was Smitty.
And the reason I think this is because every flashback scene we've seen up until now, and of course they're all changing,
right now.
Is that he's running up the stairs, sees
Bridget
at the base of the stairs, crying. Right outside, mm-hmm. the door, and he goes in and finds Abby, we believe, because we haven't seen it passed away. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Ray had anything to do with furthering Abby's death. I think the scenes that he's thinking of in the hospital are Smitty, and he's confusing the two.
I think so. I think, well, it's important to note that these pills are pretty much the root of this entire episode, mm-hmm. because for him taking them is the reason why he's acting a certain way in many situations in this episode. So we open it up and he's with a therapist, and for the first time pretty much ever, Ray's actually, mm-hmm. vulnerable enough to open up. And it seems like the therapist nailed it right on the head, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Without knowing, he knew everything.
He answered everything that I think Ray was wanting to talk about, but also he did it in such a sleek way that we didn't even notice how. And he said, I know you don't want to talk about it on paper, so it doesn't have to be on the record. So off record, I know these things happen to you.
Mm-hmm. See, here's the thing, too, is that with Ray, I think that's about as much as he's ever going to open, mm-hmm. up.
Ever said,
and
yes.
Even though, like, the whole thing was the doctor saying, well, this happened to, mm-hmm, you, right? Mm-hmm. X, Y, Z, you know? And he's like,
Irish Catholics, right?
Yeah.
Irish Catholics.
Yeah, like, yeah, right, that says it all.
Who doesn't get beaten by their dad?
Like. Yeah, and did you hear how Mickey actually abused his ex-wife?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I figured it, just because Mickey had problems with tempers. So, mm-hmm. I had a different issue with the therapist. He gets so quickly into were you abused as a child? Mm-hmm. Who would open up that way? Who could? So I thought, well, that, and then I couldn't get past the beard. So that scene was a little hard for me.
Well, the thing that bothered me with the therapist is that he was so quick to say, here's some medication.
Yes, as well.
I didn't like that.
Well, that's a huge issue because we know that, I mean, it was very clear that not only Ray, but his family had issues with substance abuse, like alcoholism and things like that. And to just prescribe such a damaged person, and a person that you've just found out is so extremely damaged, and this is really the first session that you come to learn anything about him, to quickly prescribe him medication like that, which of course has a stigma attached to it as being, you know, easily abused by people. Well,
sure.
I just think it's extremely dangerous to do that.
It is dangerous, but also I think Ray is so resistant to the therapist because he did say, oh, why don't you just turn on that cartoon so I can watch. I think that was kind of disrespectful towards the therapist as well. But here, so he's like, you know what, take the pills and leave.
Yeah, but here's the thing though. Yeah, I don't think
you
ever
can't do that when you're a therapist.
Exactly. That's a therapist, your job. Okay, he's probably had other people just like Ray. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, there's hundreds of Rays out there who won't talk about what happened to them, especially in his case where he's forced into anger management. The guy should be a pro. He shouldn't be like expecting someone to say, all right, well,
hug and kiss him and like lovingly into therapy.
Unfortunately, you know, the way the system is built, there's not always people who, I mean, I'm sure he's well and capable, but because the system is so, overflowing with so many people, remember, this is court-ordered treatment. Mm-hmm. So you're right. There are hundreds and hundreds of people who are just like Ray, and maybe he just sees that as a quick fix to get him in and out of the office and try to put a Band-Aid over the problem.
Yeah. I was surprised that Ray even took the prescription.
And that he filled it. I was
surprised
about
that. I thought he was
going
to throw it away.
Yeah. I thought he was going to be like, you know, what is this hocus pocus?
I don't need this. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he, you know, I think in the past, Ray would have probably not taken it, but because he is suffering internally so severely, maybe he saw it as an out.
Or maybe he saw it as, what the heck? What's
the difference? He has nothing to lose. No wife, no kids, no house.
What do I care?
He doesn't care.
And he did it at the exact moment when Natalie was inside the room where Abby was not too long ago. So it just hit him in that scene with the apartment. So he took the pills. And
all right. So can we talk about Natalie?
Like, what's the deal with Natalie?
That movie was awful.
Even if it was a B-rated movie, it was awful. She's supposed to be a major star?
I think that's the reason why the writers and the producers wanted that to be, you know, like that. Pokey. But
so she's, I mean, this is kind of a trend. We've seen this in a previous episode where she's presently in a place where Abby once was, and that causes him to have flashbacks. And it's very weird because it's not like she's replacing her, but it's just very, I feel like, taboo almost in a way.
It's so uncomfortable because it would be so easy for Ray to say, no, you can't stay here. And he never stands up to basically a stranger. Mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't have much connection to Natalie. I know they slept together once, but really, considering all the people he slept with, it doesn't mean that much. And I just can't believe that he doesn't take a stronger stance against her. I find it very strange.
Not for nothing, but I don't really trust her. I don't trust her at all. And it seems like, but I mean, I do feel bad for her because of, well, what we know as an audience, as far as we know, she has a terrible situation. But I just, the way she acts is a little bit slimy to the point where I almost don't even believe her.
Well, and she also has so many storylines in and of itself just for Natalie. Mm-hmm. So she almost caused the car accident. Mm-hmm. Well, she did cause a car accident. She almost caused the death of Ray and Abby. Mm-hmm. Now apparently she's pregnant with the studio Doug's baby. Yep. And then, of course, the whole storyline with her husband. Mm-hmm. The husband, and she was going to kill him, and then she didn't kill him, but she said she did kill him. And then she wanted the dog, but then she gave the dog back. And I'd like the dog back, by the way. So, I don't know. It's been weird. She's had a lot of
So she's gone missing, and Doug, who is the head of the studio, is looking for her, but of course he doesn't reveal to Ray why exactly he is looking for her. But Ray knows it's because she's pregnant. Although, I mean, I feel like I'm questioning that a little bit. Do you guys believe that that's actually the case?
And here's the thing. Even if she's pregnant, I don't know that it's Doug's baby. maybe it's Ray's baby. Yeah. We just have no idea. That would be so screwed up if it was Ray's and he has a child.
That would be bizarre.
Yeah. But has it been 8 weeks since they slept together? See, not one night in the house?
Do we even know?
Good thinking.
Nope.
Well, see, the only thing that makes me think that she's telling the truth is Doug's reaction, mm-hmm. which is... he's using the studio and the billions of dollars that they're losing as an excuse, but he has a personal reason for wanting to sell.
But
I think it's a personal...
She could have said it's your baby and then it's not.
Yes, sure. Yeah. Yes, and yes, maybe who knows with her.
Yeah, but it could be, you know, even if it is his baby, I agree with you. I do not trust her.
Right.
This is where, Ray's incapability comes in of saying no to these types of women and just saying, Lee, let me just work on myself.
That's the thing.
You know? No, you can go in the bedroom and nap. I know you're pregnant.
But see, this is so weird. He can say no to Sam Winslow. Basically, there's that box of documents that is in the car of the woman who takes it back and gets in a car accident. He doesn't even go across the street to pick up the box that he owes Sam Winslow millions of dollars have been paid.
Though, I think that's what
Yeah, all right, but I mean, he's such a professional. I mean, he's been doing this under the influence of alcohol for years, and he, you know, has no problem sort of facing off with Sam Winslow or other really major...
I just think he doesn't care. Like, he just doesn't care at this point.
So you think he'd throw Natalie out?
No, I think young women are his, young mm-hmm. troublesome women are his weakness. Troublesome.
I know many men like this.
Yeah, but if you notice, in previous seasons, I feel like there's always that one woman that's in the eye of the storm, and he somehow can never resist her.
Even mm-hmm. going back to season one, in the very beginning, I forget her name.
The blonde girl?
Woman. Yeah. Yes, right. The girl,
the stalker?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he completely had a weakness mm-hmm. for her. Yes. So I feel like when it comes, it just depends who it is. So certain people, he won't say no directly to.
So I'm so glad you're bringing that up, because for me, this is a really sticky point in that it lessens how much credibility there is for his aching for Abby.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that obviously he's in deep pain, and I don't doubt that. But, you know, I remember episode after episode after episode in four seasons prior, Abby wasn't so thrilled with him all the time. Mm-hmm. And now they're showing her as always so happy with Ray and always saying, thank you for lying to me. I know that you've been sleeping around.
I love that one scene.
Oh, I didn't like that
scene. With the weed and the whiskey in bed.
Oh, that was fun.
Because that was a nice scene, though.
That she would say thank you for lying to me about all the women.
I'm dying anyway. Thank you for lying to me.
Bringing me here to be like one of your other women. That was not Abby. See, Abby didn't act like that.
Well, do you think that she wanted to go to that apartment to be like one of those other women?
No, I mean, Abby had a backbone. Abby would tell him, Ray, this isn't going to happen. Or, remember, in season four, she was taking nude selfies of herself to show the guy who had guns and the...
Why would she want to be in that apartment? Why would she thank him for taking her there?
I think she wanted Rave to crave her the way he craved all
those
other women.
That's what I'm saying. Not like she wanted to be like the women, but she wanted to be like the women in Ray's eyes.
Well, I have more dubious thought. I think she wanted to do a bucket list. Okay, I did this.
I just think... Well, that I think the writers have written her a little differently in season five, because I really don't remember Abby being all smiles all the time like she is now in season five. And of course, people's memories play tricks on them, and so perhaps this is how Ray's remembering her. But really, Abby was much tougher than how we're seeing her in season
five. But she didn't have cancer then.
Here's the thing, too, is that at the end of the day, it's, I think, like you were saying, it's how he remembers her, number one. Number two, when she was found out she was dying, it probably changed a lot for how she was going to act, because, hey, you're dying. Maybe she saw things differently. It didn't really matter as much anymore if he had slept with other women. The other thing is that certain things change people and make them act differently, in general. And so I'm thinking, up until this point, and this is why, I don't want to romanticize their relationship, because I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think they had a good relationship. I know
up until this point, though, I think that their relationship had always been negative, but because of the extreme circumstances and the way the ride or die way that the last season ended, this season, they're painting a picture of them like they're so happy. And, even the scenes of them in the car before the accident, how they're fantasizing or romanticizing their future and the bar. And, I think that we're getting... we're getting a view of them like everything was all good and great. Yeah. And I agree, though, like, now that she's sick and she's dying, really, what's the point of putting up a fight?
Right, yeah. No, of course.
I mean, and, I'm so confused. No, go ahead, but I was just going to say after. We should talk about Terry and the funeral and the Forest Lawn scene, but yeah.
Just to, like, add something else here, too, I just don't, like, as a, you know, like I was saying, I don't like their relationship, and it makes me like Ray less as a character. It makes it really hard for me to redeem his character at all, because his character is just not as redeemable to me, because he continued to do these things, and even when she was dying, he didn't know how much longer she had, and he would still go and sleep with someone else.
Yes, well,
I don't even care.
Just that, like Don Draper and Mad Men.
Like, have some decency to not do that when your wife is on your deathbed.
No, I know, and I think he just has, you know, extreme internal weaknesses and issues, and that are even rooted into his mother and father's situation. You know, of course, I'm not excusing it by any means, but I think it's just something beyond my understanding, because I could not even fathom a situation,
you know,
like that.
I think he's just floating now. He's not living, going.
Yeah.
Working he's just on this there.
Deal. He's such an untethered balloon.
Where are you?
He's
like, just, give us some answers. Where is your, you know, situation going? And we have the situation with Terry, which we kind of were talking about. Who was he talking about with the coffin?
Well, this is very tricky to me, because, you know, we weren't given specifics of this situation, but from my perspective, I thought he was, you know, leaving L.A. with Damon, getting ready to go to New York, so he wanted to say his goodbyes to Abby.
That's what I thought, too.
But that one thing that he said, continue.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's huge, because he said he didn't regret anything that they did and the decisions that they made. The only thing that hurt the most was holding her coffin. And I can't remember exactly what we had been talking about in a previous episode, but I feel like, weren't we kind of toying with the fact that he may have assisted her situation in a type of way, or...
See, what I thought is that when he got to the grave, he basically said, I thought the hardest part was going to be your death, but no.
It was carrying your
coffin. Yeah, exactly.
But and what did they do?
I really think he assisted in the suicide, and maybe that's what caused the fight in the bar.
Right. Oh, it could be could be some type of a, like, not affair, but...
You know what? They had something going on.
I knew that he loved Abby at one point, her more than a sister-in-law. He loved her.
Of course. And he still loves her.
And he still loved her. But this was definitely put in there for us to question what exactly was going on. Because, of course, that's a huge cliffhanger. I don't regret what we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what did you do?
But he wasn't in the bedroom at all. So you have Bridget and Ray coming to find her dead in the bedroom, and he's nowhere to be seen in any
maybe
of those.
Maybe he gave her some type of medication.
Oh, maybe medications that only he has access to because of his sickness.
Or do you think he's referring to that they maybe did fool around and we never knew about
both.
It?
It could be either. Yes.
I'm bending towards that more.
But here's what I also want to know. Talk about a gazillion stories and I don't know where they're going. What about his marriage? I didn't realize it was completely over. I thought they were still trying to work something out. They were fighting. She was moving out after they had just gotten married. So basically, they've been married a day, and she moved out.
He wants to go to New York.
I think that he is running away from the situation. Mm-hmm. And you know, just to go back real quick, I do agree that they could have had an affair, some type of relationship. But I think that the fact that he followed that comment with, but the hardest part was holding your coffin, had that it was something to do with her death.
I think,
because it's like he didn't regret, you know, the situations led up to that point, but, you know, that was the only thing that truly hurt him about the situation.
I think it's probably, like, it's at least has to do with her death, if not the fact that they also hooked up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now he's off in New York with Damon and pursuing whatever it is that they're doing out there, boxing. And he's just, you know, running. I feel like he's running away from his issues. You know, now he's single, apparently. We don't really have any clarification on that. But that was the last we heard of Terry for this episode. And then to move on to another brother who's facing some issues.
Bunchy.
Yeah, he's really struggling. I mean, who wouldn't? The fact that you just got robbed $1 million and your wife's off on tour doing God knows what. You know, he's not really in a strong place.
He's not grounded.
Not at all. And he doesn't really know what to do to get this money back. And then he went to go to the place and he... found out that he could possibly sue the business.
Get a case, And he calls the attorneys. So it was called malfeasance for security or something like that. And they said basically you don't have a case. Like there's no paper trail of your money either. Yes.
And you weren't an employee.
That was the big thing is that the guy worked for the company, which is why he could sue. But
And then we see Mickey trying to save the day. I mean, that whole issue with Mickey going to the strip club and dragging Avi out to the desert and then dragging him back. It's like, do it already or just don't. Because now Bunchy's arrested and I don't know what's going to happen.
Right. Why? But the craziest thing about the situation is, well, first of all, I think that's very much a part of his character to save his sons and, you know, look out for whoever he needs to. However, going after Avi is a really risky situation. But the fact that it's not risky at all is concerning because, of course, Avi's wasted. He doesn't look good. He's a regular in this situation. But, you know, before he was, like, a trained fighter or whatever he was. Built, he was a
I just remember
from the Israeli army.
Israeli army.
I had a hard time seeing Avi drunk and on drugs and not awful. Coherent. But I just mean I didn't believe it. So in addition, as it was hard to watch, it wasn't credible to me because this isn't the Avi that we know.
Right.
And as we learn, it's not really Avi who stole the drugs. It's Frank who stole them, and Avi's just the pawn here. Which leads me to believe that he wouldn't be taking drugs.
Mm-hmm. But he's such a strong character that I find it hard to believe that he's even being so...
manipulated and...
Yeah,
and
like...
defenseless.
You know, one scene in particular when his keys got taken from him, I thought he was going to turn around and be like, I know you took my keys, give my keys back.
Yes.
Because he was just always so quick and one step ahead of everybody like that.
He lost his mojo.
He's the guy who slipped acid into someone's drink and didn't get noticed. Mm-hmm. I didn't buy any of that at the bar.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I didn't, and the fact that Mickey had the ability to kill him if he wanted to. Feel like that's a situation that would have never even escalated to that point had it been a previous season.
Right.
But, of course, Mickey doesn't kill him, and rightfully so, because Avi
Avi's family.
Yes, he really is
family. He was there through thick and thin.
And he explains to him why you don't need to kill him. Uh-huh. He also makes it worth Mickey's while. He says, you don't have to kill me because as soon as you do, you're next in line. So it'd be better to get the money that's coming out of this situation and help me make these drops. And then it clicks to him, you know, I can make money for Bunchy.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And so then he focuses on that, which was wonderful to see. I'm really loving Mickey's character. I said this the last time we were here. I'm loving Mickey's character because he's the only sort of comic relief, if you will, that we have. So as he's like going into the club and he's dancing and he's getting his
so
the only character who is really being true to themselves is, you know, he's just whipping out, I'm assuming, $100 bills to the bartender and he's like, you know, you're beautiful. And I just love to watch him do that.
It was funny because she's his type. Every woman that he likes is just like her.
So I love the consistency there. Thank you for the writing.
It was just a funny little ad to it, but you know, that's very much like Mickey's character to always be thinking ahead and have very calculated moves. So the fact that he could get something out of that situation, you know,
he might have a new girlfriend, so it'd be fun to see Mickey in a new relationship.
But now it's like Bunchy's in trouble, and this is what I want to happen. Okay, maybe it's predictions or whatnot, but I want Mickey to call Ray and say they took Bunchy, handle Frank.
That's what I want.
I want that. Like, pick
I
up
think
the phone
that Ray
and call
is going to have to interfere.
I want Mickey to sort of make Ray snap out of it.
Like, you know, come and help your family. Everyone's struggling. And also, we don't even know the backstory of Bridget now. She's all the way there.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead. It's just confusing.
I think for me, Bridget wouldn't think that if Ray didn't actually show her or like
intimate somehow,
or she just happened to see something she wasn't supposed to see. She really, like, I just don't see her getting like this unless he actually did this to this boy, and now she feels really awful for it.
Well, it's I'm just wondering how she even knows or has a clue about the situation. And you know what? I mean, of course, if he did it, that's inexcusable, mm-hmm. and it's awful. But at the same time, I almost feel bad for him because she's being so mean to him and she completely cut him off, and you know, they're both facing an extreme loss, and that's typically a time where you would become closer mm-hmm. with your family mm-hmm. just to heal, and she's just adding salt to his wounds. And I mean, I'm sure she doesn't know the extent of what he's going through, but she's purposely calling to, like, jab at him. Mm-hmm.
Well, see, here's my thing. Hmm. She's also in pain, too, yes. and she's much younger. So to me, he should be trying to reach out to her more than what he's doing. He should step up, mm-hmm. be more of a father. Absolutely. Especially if he was the one who actually did that to Schmitty, then he should be doubly, like, well, reaching out to her.
He wasn't even going to tell the kids about the house until Terry said, tell the kids. Stole the house.
I agree. He's not being a great father.
No, and his kids went through the death of their mother, and he's just gonna, like, not do anything.
Yeah, he's got them on other coasts, and he doesn't even seem to check in with them, except that Terry said you should. And, you know, it sort of reminds me of how Ray was with Mickey, and now Bridget is being with Ray, mm-hmm. in that she's, you know, she didn't see Ray being that great of a husband, that great of a father, and so now that she's experiencing this big loss, she's holding it against him.
Okay, so it's kind of, it's following in the pattern of his own father. And I agree, he definitely should step up and play more of a role. I just, because we see a lot of Ray's perspective, I do feel for him as a character, you know what I mean?
I just want him to stop taking these odd jobs. Get yourself together. I mean, the thing is, it's interesting to see what Sam is very mysterious, and the fact that she didn't even want to give up that Oscar, and she's like, I'll give you an extra $1 million.
Yes.
And she even quoted Charles Bukowski and said, find what you love and let it kill you. We talked about that earlier. But I want to know why she was so, you know,
holding on to that Oscar.
Yeah.
Well, and especially because there was more where that came from. That wasn't the only Oscar.
I'm excited
they said.
To know more of her life.
Well, and I got the feeling she didn't especially care for her husband anyway.
Right, that's what I thought as well.
Why be so concerned about holding on to something when there's many Oscars and
Her situation's very bizarre because she paid off these blackmailers to just get, you know, everything clean. And, of course, we want to know why they even wanted the Oscar. You know, why would you want an Oscar that's not yours? Mm-hmm. It's just, like, the whole point of having it is because you earned it. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So that's one mystery within itself. But then, so this woman that got in the accident at the end of the episode is another
blackmailer.
And so completely unrelated.
So this woman was from season 5, episode 1.
Yes, right. She's part of the team of blackmailers.
Doug called Ray and said, come over here, blah, blah, blah. We saw this woman in that dark shadow. We didn't really see her face, but we saw her get the money that Ray gave to her.
Yeah, I thought we saw them together.
In two black duffel bags.
But now only the one person got the $3 million and she was left out of it? Like, I'm not understanding.
I'm not understanding either. My thought was maybe she turned against who she was working with and now she's going solo.
Or she wants her own $3 million. Like,
well, she's dead now.
Yeah, well, we saw how far that got her.
She's dead, but then there's, you know, items in that box that will be exploited.
Sam's past.
What are those items? Do
I
we
thought
know?
They were...
Like pictures?
Yes, pictures and a bunny rabbit. To me, it looked like childhood effects from her daughter that she killed in a car accident.
And the story is coming to life now, how it wasn't an accident. She was a drunk driver.
Right.
Yeah, and they covered...
So many storylines.
Like, so many storylines. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's too much.
We
it's
have
so
a headache.
Confusing.
Yes, right, yeah.
I think that we have to tie up some loose ends in order for things to start making sense, because the fact that all of these storylines are progressing, and they're progressing separately, it's like, well, where does this all come together?
Yes, and then when the story comes together in 50 minutes or 55 minutes, there's so much editing between stories, it's starting to not feel like a mm-hmm. cohesive show. It's starting mm-hmm. to feel really mm-hmm. yeah. disjointed for me. A little bit,
I'm edgy. Personally, when this first started, like maybe the first like 3 or 4 episodes, I got what they were doing with the, you know, basically the through line mm-hmm. that's Abby's death.
Yes.
now I'm just starting to not feel as connected to any particular character. Yeah, because it's all going in so many different directions. The only one that I really feel bad for at this point is Bungie, mm-hmm. and I also feel bad for Bridget because of what she's going through, and we mm-hmm. haven't really seen much of his son.
Connor is MIA.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? I was starting to think that there may have been a falling out between Ray and the kids, but now I'm thinking when Terry went to go visit Connor, Connor was speaking sort of highly of his father, being like, that's why he's so strong, I need to be just like mm-hmm. him. And so Bridget's really the only one that has, you know, animosity mm-hmm. towards him. And
probably because she knows more.
She knows more.
And she just witnessed something, but we don't know what that something is. To be honest with you, I don't really care about the Natalie storyline. No. I don't really care about the Sam storyline.
Like, kill her
Natalie.
Off or something.
I want to know more about Abby, especially the scene, like you were bringing up when Bridget was in the bed with her.
Yeah.
That was just, like, very intriguing to me because it was just a little taste to what mm-hmm. we actually want to find out. Mm-hmm. Do you agree?
I agree.
I definitely agree.
I want to know what happened in that room.
Yes, and I want to know about Terry and his wife, mm-hmm. Maureen. I want to know what really happened there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to watch Mickey.
Yeah, oh,
that's
yeah.
really fun
Definitely.
For me.
So, yeah. The Mickey Avi situation, I could deal with that the subplot of that.
Right. I mean, I want to see the other characters develop a bit more. Like, oh God.
Doug?
No, not Frank. Daryl.
Daryl, yes, we didn't get much of Daryl.
But all these men, I just want to see how their characters are going to develop. But I want to see how Ray is going to handle this whole situation with Sam.
Well, you all might remember Pooch Hall was on our show two weeks ago, the Daryl, and he said it's all going to explode. And he promised us that it was all going to come together.
Yeah.
But did you see how towards the end of the episode, Ray ignored Sam's call?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He pressed decline.
Oh, yes.
Well, I mean, he was puking. He wasn't feeling his best.
A lot of things are going to unfold. I'm just hoping episode 6. Bring some sort of clarity.
Do you guys have any wild predictions or things that you would like to see come together? Like, give me your craziest, like, how is this all coming together?
Natalie's baby is
raised. Oh, gosh. Okay, that's what you think.
That's what I'm looking for.
Okay, yeah. I think that that's a distinct possibility. I think that Daryl's going to come back in a big way, just because we had a little bit of insider information there. So I think he's going to come back and maybe step in on Bunchy's behalf.
Redeem himself.
Yes, because in the beginning of the episode, we saw Mickey saying, hey, it's okay, so you puked on your first job. But I think he didn't like that comment, and I think Daryl's going to come back stronger and wanting to prove himself. So I think he might be some of the glue that the family definitely needs, and he wants to step in that realm. So I think that Natalie could be pregnant. I'm hoping not. I'm hoping she just gets, like, written out of the season. I think she's here to stay.
Yeah, she's here to stay, unfortunately, because, you know, Ray always does have that chick. And every season it's a new chick, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that he did poison Smitty.
I think he did as well.
Yeah.
I think that flashback was in the hospital. Yeah. Mm-hmm. when that all went down.
Yeah.
And it was just, I mean, I know he was all strung out after he spoke to Bridget and he got sick, but I was thinking also he got sick because he was kind of like, crap, like she knows this is so heinous. Mm-hmm. It's been hanging over my head this entire time.
Didn't even help because Abby still passed away.
Yeah.
So,
that was the thing too, is that when he reacted, I think he said something along the lines of, what? But I took it like, oh my God, she knows. Like, that's the kind of reaction.
But, you know, I mean, just to have a plot twist, he could have not have done it.
But I highly doubt it.
Yeah. Right.
So, all that I agree to, I want to see. But I kind of want to see Bunchy living a normal life. You know?
Yeah.
I want his wife to come back. I want that child to have present father and mother, obviously. And for him to get his money back somehow.
Yes.
Or the investment deal to happen. And it's just sad that he got arrested for, being involved in the gang shooting and all of that. But now I feel like Mickey's going to go after it and try to smooth out everything, but we always overlook Bunchy, and he's just always thrown over there.
Yeah. Well, you know? I think, I mean, of course he's a very damaged human, yeah. but he's also a very immature human.
Yes. Yeah.
And I feel like he's incapable of living a normal life yes. because he's just truly incapable mm-hmm. of living a normal life. I mean, even if he did have that money, you know, he got $1 million from a settlement.
Yeah. Yeah,
he right. didn't, like, work for it or... of course, something tragic happened to him, and that's the way he had earned the money. But the fact that he had all that money and he was carrying around in a bag, yeah. like, who does that? Yeah.
I just mean, like, it's time Ray comes back home. Come back home and help your family, you know?
Here's the thing with Bunchy, too. I feel like he's the kind of guy that because he was damaged, he will always need someone kind of watching over him.
Yes. I don't think that will change.
Yeah, like, I don't think it can at this point mm-hmm. because he's in his, what, late 40s? Mm-hmm. So yes. he just needs someone to supervise him and not, like, every time he's alone with the child, like, he's one of my mm-hmm. favorite characters, but when I see him alone with a child,
it makes
I get
me nervous.
Really nervous.
It makes me worry.
he was drinking and he was going to go pick her up from daycare.
I'm so happy that the Maria... was mm-hmm. like, nope, the you can't get
us.
Yeah.
Right.
yeah, but I'm also happy she didn't call anyone because mm-hmm. that's what I thought was going to happen.
Child services.
Yeah.
And there comes Mickey.
Yeah. I'm sure, I think she has some sort of sympathy toward him and she kind of, she probably feels bad for his situation because she knows that his wife is gone and he's, of course, incapable of doing mm-hmm. a lot. So he's really just trying to navigate the situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, not the best he can, but...
Right.
Very bizarre, yeah. I wonder what's going to happen to the baby now that both the parents aren't in the picture.
Right,
is Mickey in charge of the baby?
I think Mickey's like, gonna be in charge of the baby.
I think so too. And I think he would probably do okay at this
point. Me too. I think he would too. I think he's actually enjoying the baby.
I think the baby's gonna be his best friend. He's probably gonna take the baby
everywhere. I was just gonna say, I think the baby's gonna go on hip jumps.
I
think the baby's going on a hip jump.
I believe that. Like inappropriate situations. He'll probably bring the baby into the strip club. And be
I wouldn't
like,
be surprised.
Look, this is my granddaughter, you know?
He's
something
the only
weird
one
like that.
Right now.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he uses the baby to, like, get a date with the bartender.
I know
really.
It.
Yeah. But exactly. I also want to see what happens with Sam. Obviously, you don't have Susan Sarandon in the series for nothing.
No.
So they're going to develop that storyline.
So
and she, I just love how she says at the end of that line, you know, feel free to paraphrase. Mm-hmm. She walks out the door and you just think like, oh gosh, I want to have her at every dinner party I've ever friends. She's fantastic.
Speaking of that situation, when Ray went to go visit Sam and Doug was there and they were talking about Natalie, I love the line Doug had where he basically said, he was talking about Natalie. He's like, yeah, they come to Hollywood broken. They get famous, and they are still broken.
Yeah, because he said, you know, she had listed an emergency contact, and it was her
agent.
Husband.
Yeah.
It was the agent, and it's heartbreaking, you know.
But all right. Might, yeah. We want some clarity.
Want
episode 6.
Now,
give us clarity.
Now we want John Voight to come on the show.
Yeah. Oh, yes, we
definitely.
Do. Oh,
shout
yes.
out.
Oh, yes, we do, John Voight.
Please come on the show.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Well, I mean, hopefully we'll have some more guests lined up. I didn't realize how long the season truly is. We're going all the way through October, people.
Sure,
so
yeah.
Buckle up. I feel
us.
Like, you know, maybe that's why they're dragging out a lot of things because we have so much time to develop it. But
maybe.
We were promised that things are going to start picking up. So stay tuned because I'm sure next week I'm going to put into the universe that at least one storyline gains some clarity.
Yes, right, yeah.
Like, just give me some answers. But thank you so much for tuning in. Again, I'm your host, Olivia Gabri. You can hit me up at @TheReal_O_G.
And I'm Louisa Sharamati, and you can find me on Instagram @NobodyReadsAnymore and on Twitter @NobodyReads.
I'm Elizabeth Alfano, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter on The Dinner Party CHGO and all my celebrity interviews at thedinnerparty.tv. And I just want to say, John Voight, you have 4 women here, so we would love for you to come and dance for us. So anytime you want.
With whiskey.
With whiskey.
And I'm Rachel Goodman. I can't say anything to follow up on what she said. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram @RachGoodman or on Facebook @RachelAnnGoodman. I am also hosting the Young and the Restless AfterBuzz show every Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Sweet. Thank you, AfterBuzzers, for tuning in. We'll catch you next week. See you later.
Bye.
Bye, folks.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.